You are listening to the Hirschsprung's Hour on UK Health Radio, where I interview incredible people with a connection to Hirschsprung's disease and other associated conditions, such as IBD, IBS, Crohn's, colitis, and ulcerative colitis. Each week, I bring you a new and exciting interview with people from all walks of life, including charity founders, models, and professional sports people. We go through the ups and downs of having Hirschsprung's with a positive message throughout. Hello and welcome to episode 62 of Tom's Hirschsprung's podcast. A very special guest joins me today. She is the leader and founder of Reach HD, for which I am an ambassador for. And we're going to talk about all things Reach, books, and lots of other topics as well. So today I'm joined by Isabel Schnadig. Welcome to the podcast, Isabel.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you so much for coming on. It's an absolute pleasure. Pleasure to meet you as well, because this is the first time we'll be meeting as well, which is fantastic. So thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. As we mentioned, or I mentioned a little bit in the intro, you are the founder of Reach, the largest Hirschsprung's charity in the world. And I guess probably the best place to start will be from the top and how Reach started, how it all came to be. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, of course. So I'm the co-founder because my husband and I, we are the one who put our head together to be where we are today. The idea came as it's like a life experience because our son, we have four children, and our baby was born in 2006. We knew offhand that he was going to have Down syndrome, but after he was born, we had no idea that he was going to have Hirschsprung. And it was for us the first time ever we heard the name of that disease. And for the first 5 years of his life, to be honest with you, we were under the water. Felt totally alone, very isolated, very unheard and un-understood, like non-understood. It was really hard. And when we finally emerged from being underwater, we were thinking about not having a place for people to know and to be together and to avoid what we had to go through alone. So we wanted to reach, to basically create a community. And so it was about, we before the creation of Reach, which was in 2011, we had a lot of informal meetings with our doctor, who are now part of the board, friends that we supported Reach from day one. And we were just brainstorming, having dinners, talking about it. And finally, we did it. We just started it. We filed for a non-for-profit, and then Reach was created in 2011. And it was really great. And today I feel like it's becoming what we wanted and more, because we have this platform that is international and where we can actually help people see the disease for what it is, and then be involved in research and the webinar and all kind of talk about it. So that's where it is. What I wanted to say also is, I think from day one we had three goals for Reach, and it's actually in the acronym. So research, education, and awareness. Awareness, just we changed the word to advocacy recently. So we are very, very focused on those three goals, and then we want to make this family bigger.
Absolutely. No, that's fantastic. And you said as well that with Reach starting 2011, so it's been going quite a while now. What would that be? 14 years, if my maths is correct. 14 years. Kind of within that time, you said you've seen it expand and change. What are some of the biggest changes you've seen in that time?
So first, I would say we have more people on the board. I mean, we have five people on board in the US, and we also have created an offshoot of Reach in Canada. And we have there's five people on board also in Canada. And then we have created more recently this ambassador program where people want to advocate for the disease and for the education. And so this is usually people that are either have the disease or are mothers of parents of someone who has the disease. And it's a very, very important role because there's no end to it. It's like there's so many things we can do about this job of ambassador.
Absolutely.
And
I
so
mean,
we
it's
want to expand that. And I said we have ambassadors in the US, Canada, Australia, and the UK. I actually would love to have an ambassador in France.
yes.
Should make it like a
Yes.
priority because,
We'd love to. We'll find somebody. If somebody's listening to this podcast, it is listened to in France. That is one of the countries that has been listened to. So if there is somebody in France that does want to get hold, we'll have contact details at the end.
that would
But
be good.
yes, but no, it sounds fantastic. And as I mentioned as well, quite a few times on my Instagram and sometimes on here, I am one of your ambassadors. I believe I'm the only one in, no, not quite the only one in the UK. I think there's two in the UK. I am one of your ambassadors. And I think, I mean, I take that role as all of our ambassadors and all of your board members take that role very seriously to really raise awareness of Hirschsprungs, because I think still, even though time has gone on and I think a lot more people have heard of it, I still come across medical professionals quite often, and I'm sure you do as well. When you mention the word Hirschsprungs, they look at you with a blank stare and they're not 100% sure, and they go, what? So I think that awareness in the sort of A part of reach, I think, or ad awareness and advocacy, is just so important.
Definitely. I mean, I recall a story where we were actually having a vacation in Arizona, and then our son, of course, he was little, he got sick, and we had to end up at the hospital. And at the hospital, they didn't know anything about the disease, and we basically had to beg them to give him an irrigation, help him with hydration, and basically. We knew what was the deal for our son, but we had to walk through the doctor there. And it was like amazing at the same time. It was a little scary.
Oh, yes.
I'm just like, I'm just hoping that this thing don't happen anymore.
I think that's, I know you mentioned the goals at the start, but I think they could sort of all tie into the fact that, yes, the research, the education, the advocacy is getting it to a point where you don't want that sort of situation ever happening. And I've heard lots of situations from lots of parents very similar to that you just don't want to ever happen to anybody. And in an ideal world, I know that we're a long way off from an ideal world, but in that ideal world, you would go to that doctor in whatever country, in whatever state, wherever in the world, and they would know instantly, oh, this is Hirschsprungs. This is how we're going to treat it. And I guess the more work that we do, the better chance we've got of succeeding, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Fantastic. As we didn't mention at the beginning, but there was one other part that I wanted to talk to you about, and that is, not only are you a co-founder of Reach, you are also an author as well. And you have written a couple of books about Hirschsprung's disease. More, if I'm right in saying, as I've read a couple of them, more sort of targeted at parents and families and siblings rather than being sort of an out and out medical book as such. So sort of very, very family friendly orientated. So there's a couple of books. My brother has Hirschsprungs and my brother is a trooper, and they are slightly different in terms of content. Would you like to talk a little bit about those?
Of course.
Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So the first one, this one, it was published in 2020, and it's part of our effort to educate people about the disease. And the way we were thinking about it is like we wanted to target children because, you know, often the child with Hirschsprung is born in the family and has siblings. And it's a very hard disease to live through as a sibling. And so we wanted to help children in the family to understand what the disease means and some of the hardship that they would have to go through, but also guide them. And then by doing this, it's also a way of helping the parents to talk about it and to make it like less scary and more manageable. And then also sometimes we can laugh about it because, you know, it cannot just be too serious because it's too hard otherwise. And so the first book, it's 2020. My husband and I co-authored the book. I did the illustration because I'm also an artist and I wanted to show that visually what it means to be that little boy with the sickness. So we have a fictional character named Peter. Peter is the big brother. And then you have Henry, the little brother. And then Peter is telling the story of, you know, meeting his little brother, seeing him at the hospital, very sick, and then see him going with his parents to the doctor's meetings and talking about, you know, I mean, basically explaining what he heard and then wanted to just share it with another audience of kids. And so there is a lot of cute little anecdote about, you know, how the way we actually lived through the disease. And there's like this page that is kind of cute. I mean, I think it's funny. It's the page of the poopy dance, which is true in our family. I mean, it was like, take it something for granted and not, you don't take it for granted anymore. And every time the child goes poopy, it's like such a great joy for everyone.
Yeah.
And it can be an embarrassment for kids, but you know, as you make it like almost this family thing, it becomes like an inside joke or something funny to look forward. And then there's a lot of things that we try to plug in the book, which was something that we, you know, discover for ourselves as our child was getting bigger. The food allergy was something big for us. So we put it in the book as part of the journey. And then I think that was it. That was it. And then, yeah, I mean, and at one point we talk about the embarrassment of having gas, you know, the child, the little baby. I mean, he's not a baby anymore. He's like a bigger, and he goes with his brother to the movie theater and then suddenly, you know, whatever. And it's like, it's an embarrassment for the child, for the bigger brother, but, you know, it's part of the story. And it's actually a book that is very helpful for also teachers at school, because those things in the context of a classroom where other children are not familiar with the disease. And then let's say the child has like some incontinence or he has like some gas. It can be so embarrassing for the child. But it's also very good for the other student to learn about it and to know what to make of it. And instead of being like an embarrassment, they said, oh, you know, that's part of the illness. Let's support, you know, au pair.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I think that's why the book is so important. It's so important for many. I mean, the parents, the extended family, also extended family had no idea. For us personally, what was Hirschsprung? They thought it was for a long time. They thought it was like, oh, a part of being having Down syndrome. So not something very prevalent. I mean, it's still a rare disease, but you know, not something that would eventually concern them because they had typical kids. But it's not the case, you know. It's not a disease that you necessarily have to have Down syndrome to in order to have Hirschsprung. So this was a very educational book for that.
Absolutely.
The second book just came out, so it's available. And it's part of a bigger another project that we had to do. I mean, that we just did with our foundation. If you go on the website, you'll notice that there's a new section called DS plus HD, or HD plus DS, which is Down syndrome plus Hirschsprung. And so we are targeting like a category of family who have a kid who have two complicated medical condition. So we are starting with Down syndrome and Hirschsprung. And it doesn't represent a big amount of people, I mean, a large amount of people, because it's only, so let's say, one every 5,000 kids that are born each year have HD. One of every 800 kids that are born each year have Down syndrome in the US, at least in the US. So if you take the statistic of that, so you take the population of Down syndrome, it represents only 3% of that population. But if you take the population of Hirschsprung, it represents 7%. So kids with Hirschsprung have 7% chance of having Down syndrome.
Okay.
So it's kind of significant, but at the same time, it's not. Because it's not, those families feel very, very alone and very misunderstood. And that's why I created this book. So again, it's a fictional story. And now the character, Peter, is the kids with Down and Hirschsprung. And Lily is the big sister. And she's 5 years old, older than him. And then I will show you some of the pages. So the parents, they are the mother is pregnant, and they know the kids has Down. So they are reading about, this is a well-known book about Down syndrome. So they're reading about the condition and try to find out and prepare themselves for having a baby who is coming. And then the baby's born, and then you know, and of course is sick. And then he's getting all the medical how do you say that? Sorry. The medical investigation to see what's going on. He's not pooping. And then so they go back, they find out that they have the diagnostic, and they read about a Hirschsprung because they found out he has Hirschsprung. So it's a way of talking about the book, the other book. And then everything else flow. It's the story of, it's a little bit of like just our stories. At the same time, it's not all completely our stories because it's fictional. But what is the big point in the book is that when you have a child with Down syndrome who have a very hard time expressing himself or herself, sometimes he's nonverbal, sometimes he's partially verbal, but he's not going to tell you about his or her day. And he's not going to tell you about how he's feeling. You're going to have to do a lot of guessing. So having a kid with both conditions, it's very, very hard. Because as parents, you have to be so tuned to your kid. You have to kind of guess what is going on. when the kid is not doing well. Is it Hirschsprung related or is it something else? And if it's Hirschsprung related, there's things you have to do. It gets better over the years, but it's still not like, hard. It's still hard. It's still not completely, like today, for example, Adrian, so it's our child. He's 18 years old and he's enrolled in a nice school, like this special ed school, his special program. Everybody is very supportive of him. He's just has like an amazing group of teachers. And he's having a hard time to poop. So I sent him to school. I was not able to help him this morning because I've been alone for the weekend. And I'm just afraid that the school is going to call and said you need to pick him up because his stomach is hurting too much. So it's something that is like, if he was typical, maybe he would say, Mom, maybe I need to do something about it, or I can't do something about it. But because he's not typical, I'm the one who has to do stuff. And usually it was my husband. So that's the challenge. And I'm hoping that this book not only will target that little population, but also another group of people, which are people with kids with special needs who have also another significant medical condition who can relate to that. And there's like a letter at the end of the book about to address to the caregiver and giving them some of my advice.
That's fantastic. I think that's brilliant because one thing I have seen, I've interviewed four authors now, and they all do something similar, but they all do something a little bit different. There's some books that are targeted at parents. It's sort of saying your child has this condition, and this may be some of the things that happen within their life. There's some conditions targeted. There's one interview I did, well, yesterday, which would have come out a couple of weeks ago, where this was targeted towards the child to explain to other children how their Hirschsprungs affects them. And then that's where I really quite like your book, because it's then almost the other way round. It's targeted towards the sibling to understand their brother or sister or whoever, their condition. And I love the fact that you've taken something and sort of turned it into a slightly different angle, and I haven't seen any other books that have done that way, so I really love that sort of that way of looking at it, and I think that's fantastic. And when you mention as well about the struggle to communicate, I think is something that's so important. And I having interviewed people on here with children who have, or mothers with children who have both Down syndrome and Hirschsprungs, they have said to me, whether it be on the podcast or off air, very similar things, that their children are either, fully nonverbal or just struggle to communicate. And that's where, as you said, with the Reach website, I think the DS and HD, the Down syndrome and Hirschsprung's disease part is so important. And I've had messages in the past from people who've said, where can I find more support? They tend to sort of message me on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, and have said, my child has Hirschsprung's and then Down syndrome, and where can I find more support? And the first place I send them is the Reach website, because I think that portion of the website is it's not really wordy, but it gets to the point, which is what the best websites do. They just get to the point. They, this happened, this happened. This is maybe some strategies to help with that as well. So I think all of those are fantastic. But I
Thank you.
think as well, in terms of both of those books, the second one, has that been released yet, or is that
It
going
is
to
released.
release?
It is released, and actually you can get it. You can go on the website and go on the button said donate, and you'll see there's different things you can get, and you can get those books. And it gives you options. You can get it at Amazon, you can get it at Barnes and Noble, but you also get it from the publisher itself. Usually it's less expensive directly from the publisher. There's like this little link. And if there's any problem, you let me know. Because I think we may create our own little store too at
Brilliant.
one point. Yeah.
Fantastic. Excellent. So if anybody's looking for those books, they are fantastic. They are ready and available. Something else I wanted to mention, if I go back a little bit to the board and the ambassadors. You said you have five in the US, five in Canada, and half a dozen, probably just over half a dozen ambassadors. Did you ever, when you started this in 2011, 14 years ago, did you ever envisage it being this big that you'd sort of got what's about 16, 17 people, whether they be ambassadors or on the board, involved with the organization?
I mean, yes and no. First of all, I want to correct something because I said five board members in the US, but we're actually seven. There's
Ah,
seven
yes.
board members and five in Canada. So yes and no, because when we first started this foundation, I was actually part of a support group that was based in England. And I was asking the guy who was leading the support group if he would be part of it. So make it some kind of international right away. And he was very defensive. He didn't want anything else to be. He was thinking about, I think, the support group being his baby, and he didn't want anything else to be competing with that, thinking that maybe we were going to steal some people away from the focus. Anyway, so it started in the US and then in Canada because Liz was involved with us right away. And yes, we wanted to be international right away. But becoming big like that fast, I mean, it's great. I just hope that we are bigger in a year or two from now, especially with the ambassador program, having more and more people representing the disease and the foundation and all the research that is being doing and the granted and the fellowship training. I mean, all the things we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned that Liz doing the with the Canada side, obviously had Liz on many months ago, to come and talk a little bit about Reach and what she does as well. And that everybody on the board has a different role as well, which is another thing I like, that nobody's just on the board to be on the board. They're all on the board, and whether it's Nicole who does some fundraising, whether it's Liz who does a lot of the marketing, everybody is there and working towards the same goal, which is something I love. And everybody has their own speciality as well. In terms of board members, did all of the board members come to you or to say they want to be part of the board, or did you go out and pick people specifically, or was it a mixture?
I think first when we started the foundation, we had people that were involved with us from the creation of the foundation and that became board members. And as we grew, some of the people are not longer on the board and other people are there. And we are trying to proactively ask if we still want to be part of the board, you know, because it's like it's a pro bono position, and a lot of us are very busy with like other like your full careers, and we have doctors on board, and we have so we have all of us, I forgot, what is the question you are asking?
So in terms of board members, did the board members, if you wanted to be part of the board, did they all come to you, or did you go out and seek people like Alan Goldstein, who's a doctor on the board? Did you go out and seek him, or did he come to you?
I think it's more like come to us and then and decide that we all want someone on a new person on the board. It's like more like a
Fantastic.
decision like that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. I think what everyone does there is fascinating. And if anybody hasn't seen the work that is done by the Reach Board, there's plenty on the website. I mean, you it's not just sort of raising awareness in sort of research education, but you do give out grants as well. You've given out hundreds of thousands of pounds to people in who are researching Hirschsprung's disease as well, which I think is absolutely fascinating. And how long roughly has that been, sort of about 5 years or so that's been going on, or is it a little bit longer?
So 12, it's going to be the 12 grant. So 12 years of
All
that.
12, I got that wrong.
So yeah, and so we are. It's part of our mission on the research side of Reach. So we are going to be funding our 12 grant, and we realize that each year we get more demand. So we have there's more research that needs to be done. Just it would be great if we can fund 2 grants a year. At one point, and that's one of the goal.
No, that'd
The
be
other
fantastic.
thing that we are funding is a fellow program. So it's been going on for I think it's 2 years, but I'm not sure exactly. And we would like to have maybe two fellowship. I mean, two fellow that are trained each year.
That would be brilliant. Well, I guess the more people that are trained, the more research is done, the more advocacy, the more awareness that's out there, and I guess it just all spirals and spirals and spirals upwards, which would be amazing. So it's just, I guess, more and more and more, I guess, is sort of one of the plans.
Yes, and training people, to do the best practice in this for the surgeries and taking care of the illness. It's a wonderful program.
Absolutely. Yes. No, I definitely second that. It's a fantastic program. And if we speak as well, I guess that leads quite nicely on to plans for the future for Reach. As we said, it's been the charity itself's been going 14 years. The research program's been going 12 years. In terms of the future of Reach, I'm not asking for sort of out and out specifics, but in terms of the next few years, and you've just obviously launched the ambassador program over the last 6 months or so, which has been something that's very new, that's been added in. Where do you see the charity going? In which direction over the next few months, years or so?
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
So I think so the research we talk about it, more research, hopefully. More grant for research, more training for our fellow. In term of education, because that's the second mission of Reach, trying to target right now, what we feel like we are targeting the family and caregivers of kids with Hirschsprung. We would like to be able to target also more of the doctors. The healthcare professional. It would be great if we could have hospitals or doctor practices just getting books or reach out to us for more like advertisement or education for their own patient. And then the general public, this is where we have to keep growing. Because I think we are not, I mean, we are known, better known, but not known enough among the general public. There's still, people that don't know anything about Hirschsprung. And so we'd like to focus on that, make it like well known. And then, because the more people know about it, the better we are in terms of feeling like we have support, we have we get, we're not alone. We are not like we're growing our community. And that's the goal. That's the goal. And the third pole of the mission is the advocacy. And I think what you said about the ambassador is totally right. It's like new and but it's growing and it's wonderful, but there is no limit to it. Your advocacy, it's something we do every day as parents, as caregiver, as teacher. So I don't know. There's it's just expanding. And the other thing, oh, there's an important part that I almost forget, is that without We from day one we had donors, amazing group of donors, and some people are every year, I mean regular donors, other people are new donors. Without them, I don't think we would have been able to go to be where we are today. And so this is an effort that we still have to do. We have to have project where we fundraise money, where we have like amazing people that take care of that, but we need more of that, more of those projects where we collect money to fund those programs.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think as well, when the reach, no pun intended, to try and get further worldwide, I think is so important. Because again, when I speak to a lot of people within this country, unless they've sort of come across either you or me or somebody else from the organization, they maybe haven't come across Reach or heard of Reach. And I remember speaking to my parents about Reach when I first heard about you, and they said, this would have been great for something, 30 years ago when I was born. And I constantly think about them and put myself in their shoes in saying, obviously 30 years ago is a long time ago, and things like the internet and Instagram and Facebook and all of that stuff weren't around. Well, the internet was, but Instagram and Facebook, no. And I just think that if we can raise more awareness and just really letting people that know that they're not alone, I think is something. I know you said this right at the very beginning of the interview about feeling underwater, which I think is a fantastic way of explaining how this can sometimes feel. When I speak to parents all the time who have children with Hirschsprungs and or children with just conditions that nobody's really come across before or heard of before, and you can feel a little bit swimming against the tide and a little bit underwater and a bit like, what do I do now? And having well, what is a whole sort of nearly 20 person strong charity out there, all of which are, whether it be through fundraising or financially helping, or whether it just be somebody there who is there to support you and guide you, or just be someone who is there to listen, who knows more than most, maybe not exactly, but certainly more than most what you're going through. Because as you said, so many people on the board, well, ambassadors and people on the board, are either parents of children who have Hirschsprungs, or people like me and Steph who have Hirschsprungs ourselves will know a little bit more of what people were going through. So I just think all of that is so important. And a lot of countries, well, I'd say a lot of countries, most countries, won't have a Hirschsprungs specific charity. I know we had one in this country before called Champs, but it's not running anymore. So in this country, we don't, from as far as I'm aware, we don't have anything specific to do with Hirschsprungs. So having reached there and going worldwide, or certainly more sort of into other countries, is absolutely fantastic. And it is something that, yeah, I mean, definitely I'm very much on board, and I'm sure all of our ambassadors and board members are as well. But I think, so in terms of the future, it is very much looking to expand, looking to do more, which I think would be fantastic. And I know you mentioned about the website as well, and about social media, and obviously we all know that that's really, really important in getting the message out there. In terms of where people can find information on Reach, and any of the resources, for example, the Down syndrome and Hirschsprung's page that you've got there as well, where can people find a lot of those resources?
Also in a website, primarily. And then they can also send us some questions. We have like this, I think it's, I don't remember. Sorry.
It's all right.
We have
The
like a mailbox that you
yes,
can send
yes,
pictures, and then we are very responsive to that.
yes.
And also the other thing is we have ongoing newsletters that comes out every 4 months that has like very informative anecdotes or like we have a theme each time. We have like we're going to have a kids' corner, like a kid named Benjamin, who is the son of one of our ambassador and board member, who is going to be talking about Hirschsprung in that newsletter. We have coffee and conversation from time to time, where we invite special guests. We have webinar, symposium. So all kind of stuff we have in terms of information. And
Absolutely.
so we are just very like ongoing.
Brilliant. And if people want to find that website, www.reachhd.org, is where to find all of that information. And as you said, it's quarterly newsletter, which is brilliant. And you mentioned about Benjamin coming up soon. He has been on the podcast. He's one of the youngest guests who's ever been on the podcast. So him and his mum Nicole have been on as well, and his story is, for anybody who hasn't heard that, is fascinating, and he is very willing to talk about his story as well, which I find is just amazing. Yes, and there's lots of things on that website as well, and especially to sign up for the newsletter as well. Just pop your email address into that, into the quarterly newsletter, and then you can yes, you'll get an excellent resource once every, I think you said 4 months, didn't you? Every 4 months.
Yes, that's right. And I wanted to say also something about so we have so our ambassadors like we have a new ambassador the mother of Milo, who is also has Down syndrome and Hirschsprung, and she and I created this subcategory in our on our website HD plus DS. She is the ambassador of that population, so she's. I think she gave her own email address, so whoever would like to have more information can contact her directly. Of course, you also can contact me because I also have a child. Is older than Milo. Milo, I think, is only 6. So you are. We are willing to, you know, to help out people. I think this foundation has become a family, a community, and that's why it's so powerful, because sometimes you need I mean, you need the collective in order to heal or to get over hardship.
Absolutely.
And then it's so important to feel like you have that access to and the one of the point that I also wanted to say is that my husband and I, we live in Concord, Massachusetts. We are not close to family. We are actually on our own, and ever since we had children, we always had to hire help. We never were able to have our parents help because they don't live, they never live very close to us. And but some people are not as fortunate and they cannot really afford because help is very expensive. And I think this idea of having a community, having people that you know have the same hardship and can you can be reach, you can reach them, they can reach you and have a special bond. And sharing the same stories can be also a way to get help and to feel like you're not alone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful sentiment to finish on. I just wanted to say thank you so, so much to you, to Eric, to the entire board, and the ambassadors as well, who do a fantastic job, and everything that you do in Hirschsprungs. I just want to say thank you so much, and also thank you for joining me here today.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Hirschsprungs Hour on UK Health Radio. You can find me on Facebook under Tom's Hirschsprungs Podcast or Instagram on Tom's underscore Hirschsprungs underscore podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show and we'll bring you another episode soon.